On today's episode, we've got a ton of Disney news to talk about, and Ryan gets to share his experience, what Easter weekend is like at Walt Disney World. This is episode 115 of the Off the Monorails podcast. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the show. This is the Off the Monorails podcast. I'm Jordan. That's Justin and Ryan. We're here. Fellas, how you doing?
We're doing good. Back to the swing of things. Mm-hmm. Getting some current events. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of stuff to cover today. A
ton of things.
Yeah, it's a week of transitioning back to real life for me. But it was a fun time.
Yeah,
we got a lot of news to get through first before we cover that. But trust me, we're gonna cover all the stops today.
Yeah, lots of things to get to today. We will jump right into our coffee break, brought to you by our good friends over at Expedition Roasters. Ryan, why don't you tell the people about Expedition Roasters?
Absolutely, ExpeditionRoasters.com is our place to get coffee. And we look nowhere else anymore ever since being brought into the Coffeeverse. And we want you to join as well. And you got pop culture and theme park inspired flavors. What more can we say? Coffee is still the number one flavor, but you have some alcohol inspired flavors with some dessert notes in there as well. Kind of like a bourbon streusel. It's one of my go-tos. Yes, you got sir. A banana cream pie, another great one, but I mean, I've made my way through their catalog pretty much in its entirety at this point, and there's not one I don't like. So I know you'll love them as well, and you can do so by checking out their link in our episode description and using the code OFFTHEMONORAILS at checkout, and that'll save you 10% on each order in the future. And also, go ahead and join that rewards program that I just told you about and get in the Coffeeverse. And you can earn some more points and get free coffee. And last but not least, get your cart to $65 or more, and that'll give you free shipping in the U.S. So once again, that is ExpeditionRoasters.com. And fellas, let's get this extended coffee break going.
Yes, yes, it is. All right. So we're going to start in a timeline here, if you will. Try to go sequential order of when the announcements were released. And yes, we understand that a lot of these announcements came out last week. By the time that you're listening to this show on premiere day, these announcements were made about a week or so ago. But it's the first time we could get it out to you guys. And we decided to put our kind of heads together on collect our thoughts and really try to see what we thought of all these things happening before we just went and, you know, talked about it. So let's start with the annual meeting of shareholders for 2024 for the Walt Disney Company that took place on April 3rd. And one of the biggest things to come out of it was the results of the proxy voting. There was a party with Peltz and Blackwell's Capital that, you know, were trying to join the board of shareholders, and the voting was basically turned down by a substantial margin. So that was regarded as a pretty large win for Walt Disney Company and for Bob Iger. So that was one of the biggest things that, you know, could have changed, you know, a little bit of the dynamic of the board and kind of the company and how it could move forward. So it just, again, shows the trust that all the voters have in Bob Iger as a leader. And doesn't this also kind of hurt in a way too, that like, is he sticking around for longer than he committed to originally when he came back?
It certainly feels
it's
that
like
way,
a foreshadowing to me, because the company has moved so far forward now under his command in just a short year and a half.
Yeah.
I'm sure with these wins and these successes that he's enduring, I'm sure they're making it well worth his while monetarily.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like we're going in the right direction at least, right?
Yeah.
So
And don't get it twisted. He's taking his battle scars too. He's You know, we're on the Bob Iger train. We love Bob Iger. We know he's not perfect, but I think he is definitely the person that needs to be in charge of Disney at this current time and where the company is sitting.
Yeah. And also too, from that, you know, we did get a little bit of news and announcements directly from Bob Iger. Yeah, you know, and we had talked about this a little bit too. I think a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, he had mentioned that, you know, a new Avatar, you know, Pandora world, inspired world was very capable, or is coming, would be coming soon to California, and they did release some concept art of what that could look like over in Disneyland Resort. So that, it, to me, it looks like there's a large focus on water. Which is, you know, and so maybe this is going to be pushing more towards the new storylines of Avatar and the upcoming films there. Because, of course, right, we've got another already planned and shot, mostly, what, three more movies coming in? So in the next, you know, next 6 to 7 years. So, yeah, I think this kind of can become that, that, you know, attraction built around those IPs, right? Built around extending that storyline. And as I think, if they do this, right, if they put that there, this shows you the investment that they're trying to push behind this IP. So it's going to be elevated. I think you're going to start seeing more and more and more Pandora things, because right now it's just a tiny piece of the company, right? Because it's only represented here in Florida today. But that could, I mean, putting it in Disneyland, especially, you know, what's allowing them to possibly do this is the city of Anaheim granting them that access, and, you know, the, that expansion project over there. And so this will allow them to pull some of these things off like this land. And the artwork just looks great, right? It looks like another, like just one of those other magical escapes, right? That just looks like you're transported somewhere else in this, you know, particular instance of a new planet.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they do anything, like you're saying, it's really water featured. So I'm curious to see if they, you know, take that concept and run with it and add any water features throughout the land, or if there's an actual attraction based on water.
Yeah, could you, I forget what those creatures were called in the second movie that, you know, glide, that they glided on top of the water with, like through the water. But wouldn't that be insane if you were like on this raft kind of water attraction and just went with one of those things?
Man.
Like that'd be pretty, that'd be pretty awesome.
So, a curious thought of mine is what team of Imagineers is going to get put on this? Because I mean, you're talking about Joe Rohde having his hand in Pandora in Orlando along with James Cameron. I mean, they've got, you know, they've got some stiff competition already in existence to make something comparable to. I mean, that's going to be no easy feat, because I mean, Joe Rohde, as far as just capturing the culture and the aura of anything he touches, is magnificent.
Yeah, well, and that could be a large reason why, Ryan, that Joe Rohde gave us a little glimpse the other day that he was hosted, you know, basically with a seminar, and will be continuing to do so at Walt Disney Imagineering, and they'll be guiding this new wave of Imagineers, or, you know, basically just guiding them through projects as a mentor, so to speak. So while anyway, it kind of looks like people were thinking, oh, is he back? Like, and which would be incredible, right? He stepped away a few years back.
The rumor is he might
but
be back.
What they're putting out there right now is that he's just going to be in a mentorship capacity, and, you know, which I truly, truly believe that he's being asked specifically about projects like this Pandora project.
Overseeing and counseling. Yeah,
probably the expansion of Animal Kingdom, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But you're talking about two things that he was heavily, heavily involved in.
Oh, yes.
That are now building up steam, right, behind him. Well, like, Bob's just like, let me just make.
They were his
Bobby
babies.
Just says, hey, let me call Joe real quick. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, let me phone a friend.
Yeah. Hey, I got all these ideas. We want to do this stuff. We're going to spend a lot of money. You mind coming over here and just like tell the guys, hey, I'm not asking you to come back. Joe, I'm not asking you to come back, Joe. You can still travel around the world.
This is your baby.
I need you. I need you to at least tell these people what to do.
I mean, just the fact that they'll be under his leadership and his nobility. I mean, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take it. Right. I'll take anything.
So fingers crossed, you know, fingers crossed he has a heavy, heavy say so.
Exactly. But to any regard, yes, that's I'm glad to see him involved in any capacity, and I'm excited about this project. It's really cool for, again, not to have a copycat, but a new experience of that world. Right. So
picking up next here, Disney shared a little sneak peek of Moana 2, which is going to be hitting theaters in November 27th of 2024. And my goodness, you can see the advancements in technology. It's freaking awesome looking. The CGI, all the graphics and everything, they have done such a fine job making everything look so good. And like in this photo, you can see the details of the ore where, in the first Moana, where Maui signed her ore. It's still there in this featured picture. So just little details like that, you know, continuity. Well, that's what we look for in Disney.
It reminds me of how the changes were from Frozen to Frozen 2 and how vivid Frozen 2 was. That animation was just beautiful. All the details that went into it. And I feel like that's what they're doing, right? Is like, they're taking that extra time and attention to detail. Not to say they didn't before, right, with the original, but you know, it becomes popular.
Available resources now.
Yeah, now they say, all right, we could commit to more hours and to perfecting the animation, so to speak, or perfecting the research that goes behind the setting and the storyboard and that act. So, yeah, I think it's going to be similar in that capacity, Justin. Let's put a little more time and attention to those details to really make it just wow on screen. So it looks that way.
And there was no really detailed plot given. No. It was just a very vague oversight. So we have no idea what the direction is of the film. But as far as what we're able to capture and figure out from this photo, she's venturing out to the sea. Mm-hmm. So more adventures to come.
So one thing I've seen too in the last few days for the news outlets, a new YouTube series was announced for.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about this.
Yeah. It's called We Call It Imagineering. So, that pretty much lends you to what it's going to be about. But per the series description, it is inspired by how Walt took us along during the development of Disneyland. This new series brings you into the creative and design journey as we turbocharge our Disney experiences. And I know we've already talked about it before. We've watched all of the Behind the Attractions and the Imagineering docuseries that are already on Disney Plus. And at this point, there's already the first episode was released on April 4th. So I have yet to watch it, but after we conclude this, I'm probably going to go ahead and fire up my TV and watch it because...
Same.
Absolutely. Love these insights and these archives of making the old rides and how they used to do everything by hand. And it was all there was no computer model telling you how to make things. It was pretty much just a trade. It was a craft.
Skill. Oh, yeah. And,
I love that type of stuff. So this can't be a bad watch. I'll probably just binge these over and over again like I do the other series.
Yeah, exactly. And I would like to see them at some point. They probably will get released over to Disney Plus. I think they're just trying to find the right platform maybe for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is interesting that it's premiering on YouTube. But yeah, let's talk about the first piece of that they're premiering with it. And that's all showcasing the new animatronics, the audio animatronics that are coming to Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Walt Disney World.
Yep.
And Disneyland. Yes, sir. So these animatronics blow me away. The movements, the detail, just everything about him is insane. And I loved seeing like the on Lewis, right? The alligator, of course, from Princess and the Frog. Just the, you could see the fabric that was making him up. And then, but they're airbrushing him, right? They're airbrushing the paint right onto him, directly onto the animatronic. They still had like the pins holding the material in the back along his tail, still like in there together. It's just, it's incredible the amount, again, that craftsmanship detail, right? That you're talking about, Ryan, is that's what they're really pouring into this to really stand out. And again, taking the design, just the look out of the equation, the way these things move, right?
It's so just fluid.
It's incredible. It's incredible to see how much detail and just perfection they're actually trying to squeeze out of this thing. And it's crazy. Mama Odie is just blowing my mind. And then to make it even better, to have the original voice actors coming back to voice all these characters for the attraction, it's going to make it just chef's kiss.
Continuity. Well,
Splash Mountain deserves this type of effort. You're talking about an A-list ride, an iconic ride, and the amount of backlash that Disney took initially in this announcement of shutting the ride down and retheming it, this makes everything worth it. This makes the downtime worth it to me. Like, the amount of effort and thought and love that is going into it is mind-blowing.
Yeah, and there, I mean, let's be honest, there hasn't been that much downtime, right? Like,
no.
This has actually been relatively short, comparatively speaking to all these other projects that
we're talking about just over a year right now.
Exactly. Yeah, like what, 14, 15 months at this point? So it's, I mean, it's nothing crazy, especially when we're used to, you know, the Epcot, all that happening, or Tron happening, right? So this has been relatively short in comparison. But yeah, for them to put this level of attention and detail in and love really into this whole thing is pretty incredible. And I'm here for it. And it's right. It's deservedly so, right? This is the first attraction featuring the Princess and the Frog, anything to do with that IP. So for them to put this amount, it really deserved it, right? Like, it's like, hey, this is going to be our showcase attraction for this IP. We got to do it right. And I'm glad they are. And it just, I can't wait. This makes me excited for the ride, but then also, again, more excited for everything else to that is going to eventually domino effect with it.
And not to fast forward too much to the portion of the show where I talk about my weekend, but while we were at Magic Kingdom over Easter weekend, they were actually actively running the ride, the flumes.
I watched
the, when we got into the park, it was completely dry, bone dry. And then it filled with water. Like, after we rode like Haunted Mansion or Pirates of the Caribbean, it was filled with water and the flumes were cycling. And then I look again and it's empty again. Like, they are testing this thing on Saturdays and Sundays. Like, they are working tirelessly to get this thing. I called it by the end of May. We're going to have announcements for AP and DVC previews.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'll be there.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be great. So yeah, I can't wait for it. So yeah.
And I'm happy to take on this one. We have some droids that have now stepped foot. They got some BDX droids that are walking around in Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland during their Season of the Force. And my gosh, these things look freaking
awesome. Aren't they awesome? Yeah, they are. They are.
It's like Wally and really, BB-8.
What an addition, though. What an addition.
I want them to bring them over, obviously, to Walt Disney World.
So bad.
And just be walking through there, chomping down on a Ronto wrap and just like, oh, what's up, droid? Like, just, oh, I want it to happen. I wanted it's going to be so good.
And they look authentic as hell, dude. It is so good.
Yeah.
They did a good job with them.
So that's what I think, right? These are just stepping stones, right? Just, it's becoming more to what they said it was going to be, right? Like that concept of walking around. Yeah, you get to see all these characters, you know, whether it's Rey, Chewbacca, Stormtroopers, right, Kylo Ren, what have you, walking around the Galaxy's Edge from time to time. But to have free roaming droids, it just makes you feel even more immersed in that universe. And so I every little thing they do now like this is just enhancing that back to what they originally kind of conceptualized.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. So another piece that caught my eye was the 3D models that that Walt Disney Imagineering released for the development of Tropical Americas. That is going to be the expansion on Animal Kingdom in Orlando. And these renderings look simply amazing.
Awesome, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's definitely what this park needs. I can tell you that. I mean, this somewhat forgotten area of Animal Kingdom, this place is going to be jumping when all this is complete. And it's going to make Animal Kingdom hard to get a reservation for.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the scale. That's what jumps out to me, is the scale of this stuff,
yeah,
right?
The scale of
is, you know, they're looking, it looks like from the conceptual art is, you know, they're going to feature this, you know, you come into this area and it's got a centerpiece of that carousel. So I'm wondering what that carousel is going to be made up with, how it's going to be themed. Then you see, you know, where Dinosaur is today, it being rethemed for Indiana Jones. You see the Encanto house, you see the pyramid for Coco. It's just the village. There's so many pieces I see in this conceptual art, and then the 3D models just show off the grandeur that they have planned for this.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
And like, can you see like a Cinco de Mayo celebration or like a Dia de los Muertos celebration?
Yes. It's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Insane. It's going to be, yeah, this, I mean, really, this is what this park needs, right? Is something like this. That, to me, I've been watching a lot of, videos for Tokyo Disney and Tokyo Disney Sea.
Oh, yeah.
And this reminds me of a lot of those areas over there where they have some of these like just overbuilt, over-themed attractions.
Like the Indiana Jones. Theirs is incredible.
Yeah, it's just, it's like everything there is just over-engineered. It's like, it looks like Imagineers. I think it was Mammoth Club I was watching, and they're like, oh, this is what happens when Imagineers don't have a budget.
Yep.
Like they just go hog wild.
That Journey to the Center of the Earth attraction.
Insane.
Dude.
Insane, right?
I want to go to Tokyo so bad.
Me too. But we'll get off of that tangent because, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Real quick. I think the one word that sums up this Animal Kingdom refresh to me is just lively.
Yes.
Yeah. It just looks lively.
It does. The colors pop out at you. That is a great word, Justin, because it's a section of the park today that isn't. Right. I mean, yeah, it's pseudo lively because they put this like party on celebration, you know, so they got all this loud music and, you know, all this stuff. And the characters are great in there. So, I mean, not discounting that. Right. I love the characters in Dinoland USA, but this will feel more authentic with the rest of the park.
Yes,
right.
I agree.
So, again, I think it's going to be a very welcome change to this park. And it's going to be, like you mentioned, Ryan, I think it's going to put Animal Kingdom on the map even further and really be like, hey, this is going to be now an all-day park for you. Because there are a lot of people that do a half day at Animal Kingdom because the lack of real attractions or rides, right? So where they've leaned a lot into their shows, a lot into their just walkability of these trails and animals and this, you know, that sort. This is going to add so much more to that park and really create that full inclusive environment. So I am stoked about this project. Hopefully we'll get even more information, whether it's from the YouTube channel, whether it's from D23 later this year. Maybe we'll get some more details around this and more concrete information. But what they've shown us so far, I am on board.
Huge fan. Yeah. And I guess building on that, we can also comment on the fact that Walt Disney World has currently filed permits for developmental work behind the Magic Kingdom.
Beyond Big Thunder.
Yes. So for those keeping track, do you remember at a D23 episode that we recorded sometime last year at the end of the year? This might ring a bell.
Yep. They've got a large footprint of land to work with. They've got a big blank canvas.
Yeah. People don't really realize how much land really is back there. Right. Like if you travel that road past Grand Floridian and then, you know, circle around Magic Kingdom, there is a lot of forestry right back there that they will be occupying here in the near future, it looks like, because this will, you know, will set them up to have the largest expansion in the park's history. And I'm just curious, what is it?
What's it going to be?
Yeah.
You know, there were hints of different things, right? But, you know, they had teased Coco, they had teased Encanto, but it looks like that's getting pushed to the project at Animal Kingdom. So, all right, what is it now then?
I'm thinking it's the Villains Castle.
I think it's Villains 100%.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
And I'm here for it.
They're building a cruise ship based off of Heroes and Villains. So,
honestly, that's a good point.
And to be honest, too, right? They lean heavy into villains now. Disney Villains is a huge category for them.
Yes, it is. For merch, for after hours events, you name it.
Yeah. That's also, I mean, you connect the dots, boys.
Who would be, Disney's we talked about this on an episode where we built our villain, our ultimate villain park, or like kind of our wish list for villains. Anything that jumps out of mind for people that haven't listened to that episode, back in the catalog, which you should definitely go do, take a look at it. It's probably like, I forget, it's like episode 70 something. All right, just go look. We built it. Anything that coming to you guys' mind about what you would like to see? Like what'd be your number one villain themed thing for this land?
The dragon.
Maleficent's dragon?
Maleficent.
It's got a good presence. I mean, I think that's
it's there in Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
It lives in the castle.
I would like to see something along the lines of Hades, maybe, or Yzma.
Or, ooh.
I think Hades would be cool because I think you could have a lot of fun with the effects on a dark ride for Hades.
Yes.
Right.
I think you could have a lot of fun. And there's no Hercules IP.
Exactly.
I think anywhere. True. Out of any of the parks. I can't think of anything worldwide. Well, sets them up for a good opportunity. So yeah, I mean, obviously they're gonna maximize this, right? It's a lot of space that's been sitting there for 53 years now.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, you're talking about some of the most prime real estate in the world. Yeah. It's building, it's an expansion of the world's most popular theme park destination. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So another thing I've seen coming out of the news outlets that is going to Disneyland that I would like to see come to Orlando would be Disneyland's new Star Wars Galaxy's Edge fireworks show titled Fire of the Rising Moons.
Yeah.
So that has been in testing phase for the last couple of weeks. And, man, Orlando needs this. Hollywood Studios needs this.
Yeah.
Because I would love to see fireworks in Galaxy's Edge accompanied by all of John Williams' famous Star Wars scores.
Yeah. That would be pretty.
Absolutely.
That'd be pretty cool. I could go either way with it. Like, it's cool to have. It would be nice to have. But I'm like, I'm okay. Like, I'm okay that it doesn't happen. I don't know if it's me just saying how much this takes away from that nighttime activity and ambiance of Galaxy's Edge, which is really, really cool, right? It's cool to be there late in Galaxy's Edge, especially when the park starts to close and no one really else is there around you. It's awesome. And so I don't know if this would take away from that, right, per se. I like fireworks, but yeah, I don't know. I could go either way with it. I think they're probably using this as a test, right? Say, hey, we'll throw this in as a perk, yeah. But we'll test see how it's received, right?
Yeah, and I mean it's only lasting until like June 2nd, I think. So yeah. it's you know, for the season of the Force. So I kind of see where you're going with that too. That it's a limited time thing for now, and they'll probably check attendance and check social media to see how people receive it. And go from there after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's also talk about a little perk for us Walt Disney World pass holders.
Ayo.
Again, this year, it's like Disney's trying to do a little bit to show us some love. Annual pass holders
get a little
VIP days returning for this year.
It's May been a while 1st since those have happened.
Through the 26th of June. So almost 2 months. But they haven't come out yet to say what will be included, but they did mention in the release there will be a limited time magnet, lounge discounts, and more. So probably be like a lot like last year when they did that little lounge in Epcot and
living with the land for M&M's and stuff.
Did a magnet. Hopefully the M&M's won't be expired.
Facts. So next on the docket, they actually released some updates. We mentioned this recently as well in some of our episodes, but we have got some new scenes in Star Tours. We have some a new planet called Cetos. You're going to encounter Ahsoka, Andor, Din Djarin, a.k.a. the Mandalorian, and Grogu all across the Star Tours attractions at Walt Disney World, Disneyland Resort, and Disneyland Paris. I, for one, am excited about this as a self-proclaimed Star Wars nerd.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what's to come and see what these scenes look like.
I'm upset we don't get to see Harrison Dula. I'm still upset about that. Like me some Green Girl.
Yeah.
If you know, you know.
I can't wait, maybe
she'll come in the Smuggler's Run update.
There you go, she's smuggling something all right. Sorry, I'm simping right now, just don't mind me. It's good to see a ride as old as Star Tours, you know, and it just recently, not long ago, got some alternate shows.
Yeah.
And they're still updating. To me, that is...
But, I mean, that's what we were talking about, right, a few weeks back. Right? This is what keeps Star Tours relevant. This is allowing all the storylines to continue with this attraction and be part of the canon regularly. This is what Galaxy's Edge is missing. It's just, you know, it's building onto that. And the moment I get to ride in the vehicle and go through those space whales.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. That's the beauty of an attraction like Star Tours, that it's so easy to develop that storyline that we keep talking about with Batuu. There's such a limitation to the outside world of Batuu in Galaxy's Edge itself. And Star Tours to me is a little ahead of the game because it's so adaptable. And hopefully with you know, that failed hotel we won't speak of, with that space kind of opening up, that maybe it'll lend itself to a Galaxy's Edge expansion and we can get that story beyond Batuu that we've all been yearning for.
I'm just curious to see how they interpret some of these scenes. So Ahsoka, are we going to go to where she was training with Anakin? Are we going to see that? Are we going to see her and the Mandalorian in the same scene? Like, I'm trying to see like how they display them and how we visit them in Star Tours way.
Yeah. Are we going to be running through a sea of space whales while Shin Hati is chasing us, trying to shoot us down? Like, you know.
I'm waiting for the surprise guests. That's what I'm waiting for. Things that they didn't tell us that we're going to be popping up in there and you see them, you know. That's
like the Emperor. That'd
or
be awesome.
Someone else, yeah. So it's gonna be really cool. There are people already posting some of the videos and stuff out there. I'm gonna be spoiler free. I'm not gonna look into any of that. I wanna be genuinely surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they threw in like a Cad Bane or you know,
yeah,
Mr. Blue Man.
I'm sure we'll get plenty of surprise guests for sure.
Definitely opens up the Pandora's box for it.
Well, let's talk about one other piece of news that came out just a day ago or so now at this point at time of recording. But we've got our closing date for Test Track. June 17th will be closed temporarily for the reimagining of that attraction. So June 16th will be your last day to experience the current version of Test Track at Epcot. And then we get to hopefully soon thereafter, we get to enjoy a new experience, all reimagined, and what they've, you know, teased to us so far, experiencing a taste of some throwbacks.
Yeah, back a little to, nostalgia.
Yeah, back to Epcot of old. So I think it'd be really cool. It looks like they're going to change the facade a little bit too of the attraction building. So again, fun. Glad to see Epcot just embracing that element of their history, right? It's just,
yeah,
to really start bringing that to the forefront. And like, that's our thing, right? That's what it feels like their thing is now, is mixing the old and the new.
Yeah, and that's really what Epcot was about at first, was appreciating the future while still nodding to where you came from. And let's face it, Test Track is one of those rides, yep, we don't typically enjoy. Like, I haven't rode Test Track in probably over a year and a half, and it's not something I claw at to ride ever. And this gets me wanting to ride it again. And maybe it changes the experience, and maybe it changes my opinion. I mean, we'll find out when the time comes.
Yeah, I recently rode it only a couple months ago, back in January, and I thought, yeah, I mean, it's a decent ride for what it is, right? But I'm anxious for the update, right? They haven't really done much with it since it opened, and man, it's been a long time since it's been open now. I don't want to age myself too much, but it's been open for quite a while. 20 plus years, 25 years almost, I think. So it's time. It's time. And I'm glad they're doing it the way that they, in the style that they are. So
now we move on to the next portion of the news. And gentlemen, they hit a grand slam right out of the gates with the first announcement. We have Toy Story 5 hitting theaters on June 19th, 2026.
I'm ready for it.
Man.
I'm waiting to see what the storyline is, right?
Yes. What I like to see is the prospectors there in the photo.
As y'all know.
And Zurg. Talking about all your OGs here.
Yeah. We'll see.
The whole gang.
We'll see what they throw at us. That's for sure. But yeah, they had a slew of movies. Toy Story 5. We've got Tron Ares. Yeah. And that, of course, will be with Jared Leto in one of the roles there. That's coming. Yeah. October 2025. You get a Mandalorian and Grogu movie. It's coming out in May of 2026. So 2025, 2026 shaping up to be a pretty good year for Disney movie releases. And that, of course,
I'd say,
again, Moana coming out later this year as well. So it's going to be a good little mix of Disney movies here coming up here in the next couple of years.
It's definitely an exciting time to be a moviegoer. And honestly, Disney's had a go in the box office, you know, for the past few years, with the exception of a couple of films. And some of those, you know, fell victim to maybe the pandemic and lack of fanfare for the buildup to the release. But I mean, there's some promise for the next 2 years with the movie offerings that the Disney company has come out with.
Yeah, and we'll see more too. I'm sure of it, right? This would be a very popular subject at D23 later this year as well. They'd love to show out the timelines, especially the MCU and all the release dates and the titles. So I think we'll probably get more of that, you know, later this year. So more to come later for that. And that, gentlemen, will take us through the end of the news segment. It was, we said there was going to be a lot to get through. That was a lot to mention and work through. But it shows you the progress, right? It was funny to me, too. It's part of that shareholders call. There was one shareholder that posed a question to Bob Iger to make it short. He basically asked Bob Iger, what are you doing to combat the resurgence or the push that Universal is making with Epic Universe? Like, what is Disney doing about this, you know, about this competition? And, you know, Iger put it in a very eloquent way, like he always does, right? We've been taking our time and understanding and, you know, slowly releasing, you know, new updates, new things, you know, uplifting new attractions over the course of several years rather than just all at once with a new park. So, but then I thought it was comical that the very next day, all these announcements start, you know, popping up, right? Like they started getting released and it's like, all right, well, here it is, right? Like, Bob, why couldn't you just say this on the call? Why didn't you just say these things on the call? But I'm sure it's because he knew it would bring up more and more questions. That he probably didn't want to be the one answering at this time. So I'm excited about all this stuff happening. It feels like it does really feel like we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've talked about these pie in the sky concepts and stuff, but to see permits being pulled and conceptual art and 3D models, things are evolving, and it's more than just a poster that was shown at D23. These are starting to become real, tangible things that are taking place, and it's much needed because I tell you, Epic Universe they're fixing to throw a knockout punch, so Disney better be ready to answer the call.
All right. Well, with the news out of the way, Ryan, let's talk about your recent trip down to Disney for Easter weekend. This is one of those weekends that has become more and more popular as time has gone on. And it's one for myself that I've very interested in possibly doing one day. But it feels like a really cool place to be for Easter. I would love to be, you know, at like the Grand Floridian. They have that spring cottage that's there. They just the spring season and that Easter weekend has been, like I said, growing in popularity. But you finally took a trip down there for that weekend just a few weeks ago. And tell us about it, man. How was it? Let's talk about kind of what you did and got into, how it might have been a little different from your typical trip. And obviously I want to know about the crowds as well.
To start things off. Yeah, we did this trip kind of last minute, really. I mean, we booked it like probably, I don't know, 4 to 5 days before actual check-in day. And, it was something we had been entertaining, but we had so much going on with our schedules at the time. And, once details on our schedules got ironed out, we went ahead and just pulled the trigger and said, this is what we're doing. We're getting out of town. We're going to do something different for Easter. We're tired of just doing the same thing. And like Jordan said, what better place could you think of than being at Disney World for Easter and seeing what types of things the property had to offer for that holiday? And of course, it was in somewhat of a celebration. I had just completed my first week of a new job. And we had talked about this a few weeks ago. I have recently taken on a new job after being at one for quite some time. And just after that big decision and the pressure being relieved off of me, and it's one of those things where you get through a milestone or a hiccup in life and you're like, you know what, let's tie ourselves over with a visit to Disney to just make everything seem whole. Yeah. And that's pretty much what the premise of this trip was. And Yeah, like we just snagged a room at Pop Century, and actually we snagged two rooms because it was six of us going total. So we got adjoined rooms, and we slid down kind of midday on Friday because I got off work a little early that day, and we got to the resort whenever there was still about an hour of daylight left, and really, I had plans to go to Hollywood Studios that night, and we just decided to take in some time at the resort, since usually we kind of hustle and bustle when we stay at value resorts. We just wanted to go take in some lobby experiences and, you know, do a little pin trading, go visit the gift shop, and eat dinner down at the lobby. So that's what we did. It was just a nice, simple Friday night, spent at Pop Century. Mm-hmm. And nice. Nothing wrong with that. So we settled in and got showers for the night and got ready for a big day on Saturday. We had some business to attend to with Epcot for Flower and Garden Festival, tackling some booths that we hadn't tried from our previous trip back, opening week of the festival. So, fast forward to Saturday morning, we get up a little earlier than usual, actually. Everybody, I think, was ready to go visit Epcot. We'd all been scratching and itching to go back, and we take that beautiful Skyliner ride on a cool spring morning, and might I say the weather was amazing. You're talking like 58 degrees in the morning, and then by 10, 11 o'clock it was like 68, 70 degrees, and highs like the 80 for the day. You couldn't ask for better weather.
Oh, yes.
But getting into Epcot, we had noticed that our nice topiaries were starting to fill out. Winnie the Pooh was looking more like himself. He was starting to get that Pooh Bear belly.
Uh-huh.
I can relate.
But, you're right.
We had some business to take care of because my youngest daughter, Avery, I feel like she has pretty much been raised through this show now. I've talked about, just our adventures with her in tow since she was 2 years old in the parks. But she was now tall enough to ride Soarin' Around the World.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So how'd that go?
Honestly, better than I thought. Way better. Because okay. She's quite skittish. She's quite skittish with rides and stuff. And she's quite jaded when it comes to rides. So the good thing was we got to the park earlier than we normally do. So we were there like probably 10 minutes after opening. And we waited probably 12 minutes to ride Soarin', which is amazing.
Okay. Yeah.
But she loved it. She was a little apprehensive, but then my mom, she got her conjured into riding it, and she sat between my mom and Brianna. That was her comfort zone. And by the time we got off of it, she was smiling from ear to ear and giggling and just so proud of herself for getting over that milestone of riding a big kid ride.
And yeah.
She absolutely loved it. The only downfall I would say was that the smells weren't smelling that much on Soarin' that day.
Oh, okay.
Which was, it was a little bit of a bummer. I smelled like 2 seconds of Fiji and maybe like a sniff of the dirt, but none of the other scents came through. So I was a little upset by that. But the fact that Avery got to ride that for the first time and actually enjoyed it made it a lot better. So
nice.
After getting off Soarin', we went ahead and rode Living with the Land since it was a walk-on and springtime.
Got you in the mood, didn't it?
I plant a garden every year, you guys know. So Living with the Land is kind of like that guilty pleasure of mine. They have the garden that I aspire to have. I want to grow a 6 foot tall squash tree.
Yes, don't we all?
But what was cool was, I don't know if it was for the Easter season or what, but different areas of Living with the Land had a Disney princess table set up, and it had like Easter eggs. So there was like an Alice in Wonderland table with like a tea set and the Hatter's hat with the card and the Cheshire cat. And there was a Snow White one. That was really cool.
Yeah. I've seen that they started doing those little pop-ups for the festival or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool. And, Brianna got some great pictures of them. So I will put them on Instagram. And she got some really great focus pictures on them. I was too busy just looking around at all the vegetables and the fruit. So I was a little sidetracked, but thankfully I've got a photographer on my hip at all times. Yeah, and yeah. Just
you didn't jump out and grab a cucumber, did you?
I did not. I know my rights. But we kind of tackled that whole area of the park. You know, we knocked out Finding Nemo, and then we took care of Figment, had to visit our buddy over there. But then by this time, World Showcase was opening up. And I will say this, we rode 4 rides in an hour and a half.
That's good.
At this point in time in the parks. If that says anything about the crowds on Saturday for Epcot.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And we hit a couple of food booths. A couple of new ones. Then we also returned to a couple of them that we had already gone to because they were so good. We will save that for our review episode for Flower and Garden Festival. But actually, I caught myself just kind of leaned up on a handrail for quite some time and just looking at the monorail loop area of Epcot and getting pictures of Imagination Pavilion, pictures of the water. It was just such a gorgeous bluebird sky type of day. I really found myself taking in more of the visuals of Epcot than I normally do. And of course, it's springtime, so I love fishing. There were a lot of big fish swimming around in the pond by the Odyssey building, and I wanted so bad to go fishing that day at Epcot, but I know it's illegal. But yeah, after we tackled a few festival booths, we had a virtual queue for Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. And if you remember from our last trip, we actually skipped our queue for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And we decided to partake in it this time because it was way too long without riding it. And my God, it feels like they have sped that coaster up a little bit. Maybe it's because I haven't rode it in so long, but it felt so much faster than I remember it being. And I'll say this too, chalk up Disney for fixing my back again, because I had a little bit of a pinched nerve in my back that day. And I've said this before, a couple of years ago with our trip to Animal Kingdom, when we stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge for Memorial Day weekend, I rode Everest with a sore back and it actually snatched my back into place. Well, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind did that same thing. It fixed me. So
it fixed.
You'd love to see it.
Walt Disney World chiropractic, you know, it's a whole nother thing. But yeah, we just took in some of the festival. We went around, looked at the topiaries. The Groot topiary is amazing. It plays a fantastic soundtrack that is inspired from the Guardians of the Galaxy series. And what I think is a great detail is the little cassette gear actually spins when the music's playing. And then when the song is done, the tape rewinds. And that to me could be such a insignificant detail to somebody, but I absolutely love it. And the sound system they have playing the music there is pretty good too. But we decided to call it a bit of a midday break around probably 1 o'clock at Epcot. I had already had a few beer flights and I was feeling good. So the weather warmed up actually more than we thought it would. And the kids wanted to get in the pool. They had been scratching so bad to get into the hippy dippy pool. And lo and behold, we went back to the resort. Everybody got their swimsuits on, and that's exactly what we did. And this is where the trip was a little more different than it had been previously, because it was Easter weekend, and we have decided to try to give back a little while we're in the parks, since we're there so often, and we know people go there through great lengths to get to Disney from other portions of the world or the country, whatever it may be. But we actually made up about 120 Easter eggs. And I say we, my daughters actually did. We made up about 120 Easter eggs, and they contained croc charms, Disney croc charms, Disney stickers. Some of them had Disney pins in them, like trading pins. And we would just walk up to people and hand them to their kids, or some of them we would hide in the bushes, and we're on an actual Disney Facebook page where people pixie dust each other in the parks. So mm-hmm. I would hide an egg somewhere and then take a picture of the general vicinity of it, and people would go and find them and post them on the Facebook page, which I think is amazing. And the page is universally crafted. They do it through Disney property and Universal properties. And we've been pixie dusted by some of these people before. So that's what kind of generated the idea for us to start doing this, because while it may seem so little, it could mean so much to the person receiving it. And that's what Disney is about. And it's great to see a community like that thriving and growing within the parks and the resorts. And
it's keeping the magic alive.
Yeah. Yeah. And we did this at the resort and the parks. So, because we had plenty of eggs, obviously, but it was so cool to like have my kids have a backpack full of eggs, and they would take out a couple of eggs and then walk up to a group of kids and start handing them out, and just the joy on those kids' faces. And that could be something that they remember for their lifetime.
Yeah.
And it may inspire them to do something kind like that in the future.
Absolutely.
And we've said this time and time again about the Disney environment, and it's just people there that are so different in so many ways, but they're for a common cause, and it's for happiness and joy.
Yep.
And if you can enrich that in some way under your own power, it's so fantastic. But we enjoyed our time at the pool, and while we were actually at the pool, we were sitting right beside the cast member where they have the little kiosk where they play the music and stuff, and they have trivia. And they do the dance, the line dances and stuff. Well, all the cast members came out to do their final dance number for the afternoon. And it was actually the lead cast member for the pool deck. It was her last day at Pop Century ever.
Oh.
She was retiring.
Oh, wow.
And after they announced that, Olivia actually grabbed a handful of eggs and went to that lady and gave her a few of the eggs. And the lady teared up whenever Olivia gave them to her, and she was just so grateful and so appreciative of something so little, but just the fact that a child, you know, felt the urge to go give, especially to, and Olivia told her congratulations on your career and this, that, and the other. And that was a beautiful moment for me. It was a very proud moment, really.
Yeah.
But
that's awesome.
It was fantastic weather for the pool. It was, like I said, a bluebird sky. I got in there with the kids. Brianna and Mom thought the water was too cold, so they didn't stay in very long. But, you know me, I'm swimming.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but
for sure.
It felt good. It was a great atmosphere. The pool wasn't super busy. It was lively, but I've seen it busier. And just everybody that was there just seemed so happy. And they should be, because not everybody gets to go to Disney World on an Easter weekend. And from here, this is where we decided to go to Magic Kingdom for the evening and take in some of the late evening activities. And we made it a little easier on ourselves, because after we got out of the pool at Pop Century, we went ahead and just got a bite to eat at Everything Pop. That way we could just go tackle some rides and not worry about really snacking around Magic Kingdom, which is very easy to do.
Yeah.
But we got to Magic Kingdom at probably 6:30, 7 o'clock. Nice little bus ride. Gotta love some Disney buses. Their AC slaps so hard.
Undefeated.
And, I swear to God, our bus driver was the reincarnated version of Dale Earnhardt, because I have never gotten to Magic Kingdom so fast on Disney transport. This lady was giving this bus all it had.
Oh, man.
We got there. It was great. But
in turn, you were appreciative.
Yeah. And we had a game plan already in mind getting to Magic Kingdom, because, of course, we're not there to watch Happily Ever After. We've seen it quite a few times, and now it's back, so it's not like we have to sit there and watch it. But I did get to watch it, and I'll get to that in a minute. So, like I said, we got to the park around 7, so we were trying to beat that buildup of people along Main Street in the hub for the fireworks. So, of course, we shot along Crystal Palace, one of the byways, and shot down towards Adventureland. And we knocked out your favorites like Pirates of the Caribbean. Then we got into Liberty Square and hit Haunted Mansion. And after we got off Haunted Mansion, it was time for fireworks because both of those rides were like a 20-minute wait, which are great. So whenever it was time for fireworks, we knew it was time to go ahead and hit some A-list rides. And we tried to talk Avery into doing Big Thunder Mountain, but Soarin' was enough for the day for first times. So Brianna decided to take her. And during Happily Ever After, those two rode Peter Pan's Flight, It's a Small World. They did Dumbo, Barnstormer, Tomorrowland Speedway, and Winnie the Pooh.
Good Lord.
All during the fireworks.
Man.
W.
And we waited probably 15 minutes for Big Thunder Mountain, and I actually got to see the finale for Happily Ever After while on Big Thunder Mountain. And I attempted to get video of it, but my God, you just cannot. You can't. I tried, and it is just, I almost lost my phone 300 times.
That's but awesome.
After we got done with the fireworks, we took a ride on the People Mover. And then, as we were entering the hub from Tomorrowland Speedway, I knew that there was a SpaceX launch that night. There was actually three that day. We stood right at the hub, at the edge of the hub, facing Tomorrowland's arches, and watched a SpaceX launch. And it was so freaking cool. And I got some good pictures of that that I will throw on the social medias as well. And how ironic is it to watch a SpaceX rocket launched from behind the skyscape of Tomorrowland?
That's so good.
It seems so cliche, but I had to.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's just a little nerd in me, you know, but it's so cool. It feels now, like what it feels like Walt's vision, right? Like ultimate vision. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah. We're going to launch a space shuttle from here.
Yeah. That's full circle type stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll say this too, speaking of Tomorrowland, and Brianna brought this to my attention, so thank you for that, Brianna. Tron Light Cycle Run did not exceed the virtual queues at all for this entire weekend. They were open all day. You could literally get a queue at any point in time throughout any day, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday this weekend.
Wow. On an Easter, on a holiday weekend.
Yeah. Now, does that lean towards like Tron's maybe not as good as they thought it would be? Because we've discussed this, that it doesn't seem to be as popular as other new rides that have come to Disney World.
Yeah. I think it's cool. Like we've talked about it, right? But I think it's a good ride. I just don't know if it's like great, right? It's not Guardians by any means, right? No. It's different. It's fine. It's good. I think still people just don't want to deal with the virtual queues. I think that's the biggest piece of all that. I think just people don't want to deal with it, especially when it's, you get a virtual
Magic Kingdom.
Queue. It's Magic Kingdom. There's so much to do. And then if you do scramble to get a virtual queue, well, then you're still waiting in line for an hour and a half.
Yep.
Like people want to do other things. So we'll see if that changes. They see if it changes the way they do it. You know, possibly standbys could come at some point. Possibly, you know, we think standbys might be coming soon for Guardians. So as a regular thing, I would be more prone to riding Tron if I could just go do a standby.
Yeah, I agree.
I just don't like the virtual queues of having to do it for any of this stuff because it's. All it is just a standby. Like that's all it is. Just like getting your name
it
on
is
the list
what it is.
For a standby. That's all it is.
But you know, after we watched the SpaceX launch and we literally just kind of hovered around the hub, just taking in the atmosphere, because at this point this was like the late hours. A lot of people had already filed out of the park. It's that quiet, kind of intimate time at the hub and Main Street that we talk about sometimes. And we literally just slid through Starbucks, and this is how empty the park was. We did not even have to wait in a line at Starbucks. We walked right to the counter.
Wow.
At 9:30 at night.
Wow.
Yeah. And
things you never see at Disney.
No kidding. But we just sipped our coffees and enjoyed a walk down Main Street, just kind of looking around at everything and taking it all in. And, you know, our hustle and bustle hour was done after the fireworks. So it was time to stop and just absorb and realize we're back. We're here. We still have tomorrow. And it just felt good. And, of course, at this point, tomorrow was Easter. So we had a lot to look forward to. And at this point, we make our way to the bus, get back to the resort, get ready for bed. And had another day at Magic Kingdom for Easter Sunday. And we had some business to attend to, seeing the Easter Parade. That was the precursor to the Festival of Fantasy Parade's first installment of the day. So we get up Sunday morning, get a quick little bite to eat, and we go ahead and pack the car up and just bring it around front. That's what we always tend to do at Pop Century, is once we get the car packed up, I'll drive it around to the front lobby and park in that area. So then when we get off the bus and we're done with the park, we can take a bathroom break, get something to drink at Everything Pop, pick up what last few things at the gift shop you need, and then the car's right there and we get on our way. But wasn't time to leave quite yet. So we get on the bus, head back to Magic Kingdom, and the girls start doing their thing, handing out eggs, hiding eggs. It was a great, great time to do that. Let me hold up real quick, because I'm getting ahead of myself. Mm. Before we left Pop Century, the kids actually, we tried to go do the candy grab for the kids, because Pop Century actually had a whole Easter candy hunt that was laid out for the kids right by the pool area. And we were literally walking up as the first wave of kids went and started running for candy, and it was like a royal rumble. Well, it turns out that after we went back to the room and figured that we were just going to take our L and not get no candy, while I was bringing the car around and the girls were in the lobby with Mom and Brianna, cast members were handing out giant bags of candy. So the kids got pink lunch bags just slammed full of like Milky Ways and M&Ms and just all the good stuff. And of course, it's dad tax season, so I had to get my fair share of Milky Way Midnights out of the deal.
Oh, yeah.
They don't like dark chocolate anyways, but yeah, we the kids got some candy. I did some pin trading in the lobby. I managed to get an Epcot 30th anniversary pin off of the gift shop pin board.
That's so cool.
And then I got a Disneyland pin off of the DVC desk pin board. So your boy kind of struck it rich with the pin trading.
Yeah, I say.
Yeah.
But we get on the bus and head to Magic Kingdom. We ride Pirates of the Caribbean as soon as we get in the park. It's like a 10-minute wait. It's amazing. And when we got off of Pirates, it was probably 30 minutes shy of the Easter parade. So we decided to go ahead and claim a spot right in front of Tiana's Bayou Adventure, where the parade first comes out of the gate. So we get to see it right there, no obstructions.
Yep.
And we actually hit up the Golden Oak Outpost to get us a snack while watching the parade.
Okay. Yeah.
Now I want you to listen to this fully loaded tray of goodies I had. I got the loaded chicken tenders. Now these chicken tenders are on top of a bed of fries. Then you have nacho cheese sauce, bacon, and green onions, and then honey mustard sauce.
Oh, man.
So Mom and I shared that. And then I had the Arnold Palmer slushy that they had there.
Oh,
so a slushy, refreshing. A slushy iced tea lemonade mixture.
Yeah, it was, I could go for that.
So good.
Yes, sir.
It was so good. But I finally got to try the Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom beignets with the strawberry sauce.
Now we're talking.
Now, mind you, they were delicious. They were absolutely delicious. They are not Port Orleans beignets, which I think is a good thing. I think Port Orleans beignets should be their own thing. The Mickey-shaped beignets.
Definitely.
These were more of like a traditional square style, like a pillow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were a little crispier, but they still had that soft beignet interior.
Okay.
And the strawberry sauce.
Similar to...
Yeah.
similar to the ones on the Disney Wish.
Okay.
That'll yeah. So similar to what we experienced in the Bayou Lounge was that exact type of makeup for the beignet. So it could be the same recipe for that they're sharing now.
Very well could be.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me, right? Why recreate recipes? But yeah. Yeah. And just a real quick plug too. If you want to see our first experience aboard the Disney Wish, me and my family got to go on that recently. Go check out our YouTube channel at Off the Monorails. Just go search it and you'll see our video there. And obviously you can go back and listen to past episodes where we recapped in a 3-part series. If you haven't listened to those already, we dive in more and more detail, but yeah, go check out the video on YouTube.
Yeah. But, I will say for $6, 5 of those beignets, that to me seems like a pretty good value.
Yeah, I think so.
They were delicious. I'll say that. And I like that they were unique in their own respect. And once we finished up with the parade, again, this is the Easter parade. You got to see some characters you don't normally see. You got the pink hippo and the swans that are from Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins comes through.
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Yeah. The Easter Bunny, he's on there on his own float. It was just really cool to see some rare things that you don't normally get to see. And they
only
threw
that day.
Flower petals. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But they threw flower petals everywhere. And as soon as the parade was over, I swear there was about 40 cast members with brooms and dustpans.
Got it clean. Got to get it. Keep it clean.
They cleaned it up lickety split.
Yeah.
And this was the highlight of the trip for me, was once the parade finished, right across the street was good old Penn Trading Outpost. Yeah. And it had been a while since I got me a nice limited edition pen.
Yeah. All right. So what we score?
So I did manage to get the 2024 Easter limited edition pen, which is Toy Story themed. It has our good friends Woody and Bo Peep inside of an Easter egg. It was very beautiful. But I also happened to see a new series of pins, and it's the Disney It's Showtime Posters Limited Edition series. And one of them contained none other than Mr. Powerline from a Goofy movie for the standout tour. And there was no way, come hell or high water, that I was not leaving with both of those pins. Yeah, I like getting pins to commemorate days, especially if I can get a holiday pin to commemorate the holiday that I was actually there in attendance for.
Mm-hmm.
So I snagged both of those up, and that was my keepsakes for the trip. And yeah, we finished up with the pin buying business, and we hit Haunted Mansion, and we got us another couple of snacks, picked up some Dole Whips over in Adventureland.
Oh, yeah.
And shot back across the hub. And we rounded things out with a nice ride on the People Mover like we always do. And there's just no other way to put the cherry on top of a trip than getting on the People Mover.
Agreed.
And just cruising around Tomorrowland. It was a nice, mild spring day. And it couldn't have been more perfect. And from there, we just took in our last few little, you know, moments of being at Disney for now, because within the next 5 weeks, I'll be cruising aboard the Disney Wish and then having a stay at Disney afterwards. So I'm pretty much just carbon copying Jordan's trip. We did take a nice little visit through the Emporium and
got to
let the kids pick up a few things. I almost bought a hat, but I didn't. But I didn't get away without buying one more thing, and it didn't happen until our last stop. And that was when we parked back at Pop Century, and we got us a bathroom break and picked up something to drink for the ride. Well, they had a nice Goofy movie shirt that was in the lobby, and I had to get it, and it is the most beautiful shirt ever. And, I'll let you guys see it whenever I think the time is right.
Okay.
But it's it's a good one. I will be bringing this with me aboard the Disney Wish. That's probably going to be my my boarding shirt.
Okay, nice. Embarkation day secured.
Yep, that's it. And you know, it was a simple weekend, and it was intended to be that way. But I'm a fan of being at Disney on Easter. I'm a big fan of it, and I will be going back on Easter next year, more than likely.
Nice.
Well, I might just join you on that one then, because yeah, I've seen and heard people talk about it and had nothing but good things to say. I was anxious to see, you know, hear how the crowds were to go along with that, but it sounds like it was pretty manageable. So yeah, I think you might be onto something there, Ryan.
One more thing too, when we were leaving Magic Kingdom and walking to the buses, we ran into a very notable couple that is a presence on Facebook, and it's the elderly couple that always wears the matching outfits.
Yeah.
We actually ran into them, and man, they were full fleek that day for Easter.
I bet.
They had on the pastels.
Uh-huh.
They were rocking it out, and great people, very lovely people, nice. But it was cool to see people that we get to see on social media quite often. They're quite a presence within the parks.
Yeah. Nice. Goals. Right there, man.
That's exactly what I said to Brianna. I said, that is life goals right there.
Yeah. It's like, man, to be, you know, older in age and be right there with the,
doing it right,
with your life partner and be in the most magical place on earth almost every day.
Yep.
Come on now.
And cruising Main Street.
Take me there.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you guys for letting me ramble on, and it was a fun time, and I hope we all get to do it as a group at some point in the very near future, because I'm a fan.
Really cool, and yeah, I am now inspired. Color me inspired there from your your recount. So at least you got me. I'm not sure if anyone else listening, but you got me in, man. Well, that'll about wrap up today's show. Again, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We covered a lot of news. And, of course, Ryan, thank you again for recapping that trip. Make sure you pay attention to our episode descriptions. There are affiliate links to some of our fantastic partners we get the pleasure of working with. 1901 Candle Company, World of DVC companies like DVC Rental Store, DVC Resale Market, any of those companies, of course, with the aforementioned Expedition Roasters as well. Go support those companies. We have codes to save you money. They're aiming to save you money and give you good products and good service. So go support them and support the show at the same time. If you'd like to support the show as well, you can go to offthemonorails.com. We've got our shop there. You never know what we're coming up with, and ideas are flowing like the river. And you just never know what you might find. We're ready to throw new things up there all the time. So if you want to pick up some OTM swag, so to speak, you can do so there at offthemonorails.com. Fellas, anything before we get out of here?
I'm just looking forward to all of the great things we have coming in the near future, whether that be trips, concepts, opportunities to network. This year has already exceeded my expectations as far as the growth we spoke of in our 100th episode at the beginning of the year. And a big thank you again just to everybody that's supporting us, listening to us, just knowing that we exist. And the communications we receive are out of this world.
Yes.
We have a great group of people that follow us and interact with us. We can't thank you enough. And it still seems beyond me that people choose us to consume us for their outlet for, you know, Disney tips or Disney news or happenings. It's a great thing. And we knew we had something when we started this whole thing up, but we're turning the heat up now. We've got a fire under our tails.
Uh-huh.
And we're just now digging in.
Yeah. We get so many great messages from great people, and just the thought and attention and detail that people, you know, take the time to write to us and just say great things. And it adds perspective for us on what people want to hear, want us to try to figure out for them. And it just, again, it amazes us every day that people choose to listen to us and our opinions, right? And we're just three guys, three dads, just talking Disney. And yeah. I'm glad we can be there for people out there like you listening. And we thank you so much. We thank you so much for that.
And while you guys are checking out all the fine stuff that is in our episode descriptions, please do not forget to give us a star rating. So Apple Podcast users, Spotify users, you guys, make sure you give us a rating. And if you can, a little brief synopsis of your thoughts on the show. It just helps us reach the algorithm, trying to reach more and more people. Just how we reached you, we want to just keep on expanding and touch more lives and, you know, just build this community up the way that, you know, we want it to be. And it's starting to shape up the way we want it to be. So, again, do all the free things first. Click the subscribe buttons, the like button, share to everyone you know, and you know, let them know about us. Let them know that, you know, there is an outlet for them for adult content at Disney, and something that we are on their level, and we leave the pixie dust to those other folks. And last but not least, while you're clicking all those buttons and doing all the subscriptions and likes and all that stuff, don't forget to check out all of our social media platforms. You can find us simply by searching Off the Monorails across the board, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of them. Just search for Off the Monorails. You will find our content. And stay tuned, because we have a plethora of things that are about to come across your screens. It's not even going to be funny, from cruise details from Jordan and soon to be Ryan, and also our coverage from the Flower and Garden Festival and our experiences that we've had the past couple of weeks, like Ryan just detailed in this episode. So stay tuned to all those. We have a lot of stuff coming.
Yes, sir.
All right. That'll wrap it up, guys. Again, appreciate you, Ryan. Appreciate you diving into that trip. It sounds like a great time. And you've got me in once again to go into Easter weekend. Everyone listening, thank you so much. Glad you chose to spend a little bit of your time with us today. And we will see you next week, same time, same place. I'm Jordan.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Off the Monorails.